Well, good morning. Grab a seat, everybody. Thank you to Pastor John for playing his banjo, being that his team is the Banjo Bowl winner. Woo! Nobody wants to talk about that, apparently. Some of you are like, we don't know what you're talking about. If you like football, John can talk about it. Would you like to make an announcement? Yeah, that the Bombers beat the Riders yesterday? Oh, okay. Oh, you're going to add more to it.
Yeah, we were the louder crowd.
Oh, good. You notice how nobody here is, they don't care. Because they're all Rider fans, and they're like, yeah, Brad's got his shirt on. Nobody thinks we're funny. All right, that's all right. Come on, we got to have some humor. One quick announcement I want to kind of just highlight first before we kind of get going this morning. One of the things that we've been doing through the summer, and if you remember, if you're in and out a little bit, is we've been praying for other churches, and we've kind of been doing that, adding it into the sermons a little bit along the way. And one of the reasons we were doing that, myself along with a lot of the other ministers here in the community, are trying to kind of rebuild the ministerial, a group of pastors and leaders getting together and continuing to pray for our community. And so we planned a barbecue, and as I'd mentioned to you before, it's just for fun. There's no projects there, there's no services, nothing happening, it's not you show up and, you know, whatever. So that's happening next Sunday at 1 o'clock at Bud Miller. A vast majority of the churches in town are invited. You bring your own stuff, you bring your own chairs. We booked the pavilion when you first come into Bud Miller on the right. Come and just fellowship with other believers and people in our community, so I encourage you to do that. So that is next Sunday. We're not doing Lunch for the Bunch this month, so that's kind of what's going to happen there, but we'll get going in October with that. And so, again, just kind of a church-wide, bringing the body of believers together in our community, because that's something I feel we need to continue to grow in, and so just something we're pushing through with that. And so if this is your first Sunday, I'd like to welcome you here. I'm Pastor Heath. I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to say a big thank you to Ross Plews for teaching us over the last couple of weeks on spiritual gifts. And I want to thank him even more because he went super long. And so when I preach today, I'll look like a hero because I'll come in under an hour. And so you will all stop mocking me about my long sermons, and we will be a reasonable time hopefully today. As I was talking to Ross this week, he'd mentioned that some of you had contacted him about learning more, and we might even consider doing something here at the church. But if you are interested and would like to learn more or kind of help discover more about spiritual gifts, he said he'd be more than willing to talk to you. And so Ross is just sitting kind of in the back corner. You can wave. If you're not sure who he is, we'll get you connected. He'd be more than willing to kind of help you work through some of that. And so, yes, we will be doing that. We are starting a new series today, but I want to show you a bit of a news clip first, if you want to run that for me, Hannah. Our audio. Oh. Okay, we'll start again. That's fine. There we go. Do you ever watch the news and wonder what the heck's going on? Do you ever wonder what is going on in the world we live in? And I showed you a video clip last Sunday, and we're going to do one every week, just to show you what is going on in our world. I mean, this is part of it, is the hurricanes and what's going on with the weather, but what about the human atrocities that are going on? I was watching the news. Korea is all over the news. Wondering if missiles are going to fly and if the Americans are going to start a war. And we have, this morning I was reading, and actually one of the clips I showed you last week was in Myanmar, which is a little country kind of in by Thailand in there. People are fleeing there because they're being persecuted. They're running into Bangladesh. 300,000 of them are on the run. I was reading an article this morning. Apparently, again, this is just the article, that the Myanmar government is being accused of putting landmines along the way as the people try to run out. And you have to wonder sometimes, what is going on? How did we end up like this? Where did it begin? How is it that we reconcile some of these things of our world? How do we reconcile the fact that we have storms and hurricanes on crazy days like this? And when I planned this series, I didn't know that it was going to land this morning. If you've watched the news this morning, it's landing in Florida. I was doing my little workout in the basement that I do in the morning and watching the news while I do it, and there's people standing outside. One guy's standing there with some sort of weather thing trying to see how fast the wind is going. It was like 150 miles an hour. He almost took flight himself. And you think, what do I do with all of this? The thing that crosses my mind is, where is the money going to come from? And like, how are they going to pay to do this? How are they going to fix the lives of these people? How are they going to rebuild? How are we going to deal with the missiles and the governments? How do we deal with refugees? Maybe even closer to home, how do we deal with maybe the peril we find our provinces in? I mean, maybe the peril of our country. Depends on who you like to vote for, but you all got a lot to say on Facebook these days, so my assumption is you're not all happy. We have an oil industry that tends to support many of your homes. It's been in a bit of peril and has affected everyone. We have governments who fight over money. We have terrible human conditions of the world. When I planned this series, we hadn't even seen the bombings yet. We hadn't seen people being run over by cars and racism in the United States. I could have gone back and pulled the clips, but I'm pretty sure you'd seen them. We have people being blown up going to concerts. Ariana Grande in London, bomb went off. Not long before that, another band, Eagles of Death Metal. Yes, that's their name. They were playing in Paris, bomb went off. It was interesting. Yesterday I was listening to a podcast, and I know I listen to weird things, but it was with Duff McKagan, who I've told you about. He's the bass player of Guns N' Roses. I do enjoy them. But I read his book this summer, and they asked him, they said, what's it like as a musician playing in these places? Because he was saying that Guns N' Roses played a few days later after all of this happened, and this guy who was interviewing him said, what is it like? And he said, it's terrifying. He said, honestly, as a musician, he said, you know what scares me the most? He says, it's the fans. Because he says, as a musician, they'll get me out. We have an exit strategy, right? They know how to get us out the back door, get us on a plane. But he said, it's all the people. And some of those concerts are 70, 80,000 people. And he said, and this was him, and I thought it was interesting. He says, I feel a personal weight for all those people. And he said, yeah, it's terrifying sometimes to do concerts right now. Feeling the weight that if something happened, it's on his shoulders. For him, that's the way he felt. We live in a very confusing world, and I see the anxiety rising up in people. There is a fear about what's going to happen next. I mean, even this summer, honestly, some of you are afraid of Bud Miller Park because of the ticks, and I'm not making a joke about that. That it's scary. People don't know how to deal with these things. We are in a confusing day and age. And I think a question that we all ask at one time or another is the one of our series. God, are you there? God, I'm seeing all of these things with my eyes. I'm watching these things on TV. I'm seeing them on my device. I'm seeing on my computer. And it doesn't seem to line up with what I know in my heart. Because what do we do with that inconsistency? So you see all of this peril, and on the other hand, we have a God who is loving, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-understanding, but yet, on the other hand, there is this peril of the world that we live in. What do we do when those two don't seem to match? And I hear people question all the time, like, does God care? Can God do anything about this? And if he could, Why doesn't he? I mean, he stopped storms in the Bible. Does that mean he doesn't stop storms today? I mean, if we just look at the injustice, the crime, the violence, the hatred, the racism, I mean, you're seeing it with your eyes daily. And it's very overwhelming. I don't watch the news much, to be honest with you, anymore, because I can hardly deal with some of it. It can be very confusing. Here's something I want you to think about. When you think of that and what your eyes see and experience and what is in your heart, what is in your mind, here's a question. How much more does God see? I mean, all we can see is what our two eyes see on our TV screen. How much more does our God see? And we ask the question, does he see? Could you imagine the weight of what he sees compared to what you and I see? I was reading this article this morning, this Myanmar, as I mentioned, just sitting in my office working on just putting the sermon together, highlight a few things, and it was talking about an article, and just as these people are escaping, the guy was commenting about a woman who they saw walking who was limping, and they figured half her calf had been blown off by a bomb, and she's still trying to get to Bangladesh. And I'm glad they don't show pictures because I can't deal with that. But God sees it, even if I don't. And as we get into our series in the book of Habakkuk, this is what we're doing. Habakkuk's question to God is, are you there? So, Pastor, why are we doing this book? Because this is not really how we should start September. Usually we should do a marriage series and draw everybody in or talk about sex, and that'll draw even more in. You're like, we haven't done one of those for a while. I know that you thought that. You just didn't want to say it out loud. But why are we doing this? I mean, Habakkuk's a strange name. You can pronounce it multiple different ways. We won't argue about how to say it. I say Habakkuk because I'm right, but that's fine. You can say it any way you want. Habakkuk, or just, you know, and just stutter a lot and add lots of K's when you write it. That's fine. So who is this guy? Why are we in this book? Because it's really small. And what's interesting is a lot of people don't talk about it. Why are we going to work through it for the next 5 weeks? What's the, I guess, the goal, if you will? And as I mentioned, and even Pastor John mentioned, I landed on this book quite some time ago, and I shared it with the staff. I wasn't even 100% sure why we were doing it. I even had doubts through the summer, like, ooh, maybe this is a bad idea. Maybe it doesn't seem to fit. It just seemed to be this is where God was leading, and now considering what's going on, he obviously knows far more than I do, which we already know that. But I believe there's something he has for all of us today. Because I believe God's timing is far better than my own, and what I also think it does is, I was thinking about it, that it shows us that the Bible is real. That the Bible is alive. That the Bible is constantly growing and changing us. I couldn't have planned it any better. That's because I didn't plan it. And so what I want you to do is to grow and change and be challenged through this book. This is going to be a really hard book. I mean, really hard book. It's going to be hard to grasp. It's going to be hard at times to understand. It is going to mess with your mind a little. It's probably going to mess with your soul a little bit. It's going to challenge your faith in your view of God and maybe the way you've unpacked him in your mind a little bit. And through this series, I want to do it a little bit different than what I've done in the past. And as we work through each text over the next 5 weeks, the tension and drama grows. And I want to follow the same flow. And what I mean by that is, you're probably going to walk out of here today with no answers. But stick with us. We'll keep walking. All our sermons are online. You can get caught up if you miss a week. But we're going to go with the flow of the book, which I know for some of us is hard because we kind of walk away and you're asking really big questions, Pantser. When are you going to answer them? Over the next 5 weeks. It's not going to be one sermon that's the answer. The other thing you might have to wrestle with is there might not be any answers. and you can't Google it in a day and age where we Google all the answers to everything. And so this is really going to be like one big sermon broken into five parts. I've already written the whole thing. Hopefully it keeps flowing that way. So who is Habakkuk? He's one of the 12 prophets. In the Old Testament, we hear about a prophet. You say, what's a prophet? Someone who speaks on the behalf of God. And this is the thing you need to remember, because this is very key to the point of this book. God has told Habakkuk to write this book, which means God told Habakkuk to question. So when we hear the questions, God, are you there? When we wrestle through the questions, we're going to see, God knows. It's not like, oh, you can't ask me that. You know, like sometimes dads do, like, just because I said so, it's not that answer. There's going to be times, even in this book, as we read, that Habakkuk is going to speak to God in a way that most of us don't. It'll be insulting. He's even going to accuse God of not doing his job. But remember, God wrote it. And so he's not unaware as he gave Habakkuk the words to put down for us to study. And here is the thing, God is not afraid of your questions. I don't think God's even afraid of your accusations. He's not afraid of your doubt. But I do believe that our God through this series is going to teach us and grow us through these questions, even through these accusations. We know virtually nothing about Habakkuk. His name is only used two times in the whole Bible, and they're all in this book. So we don't know much about the man. There's a few things outside the Bible you could read, but not all of them are reliable, but doesn't really contradict much of who he is. So why is this book written? What was going on in the world? Because we have to understand his world. And we find him around the time of 600 BC, give or take a few years, some of them say, but he's in Israel, which is the nation of God's people. And this is a real simplified version, but there's a north and a south kingdom. The north is Israel and the south is Judah. And the reason why Habakkuk is so distressed in this book is because of the depravity of Judah. God's people in the south are morally and spiritually corrupt. They were worshiping Baal, who was the god of storm and fertility. They were even sacrificing children, and yes, I said that. They sacrificed children to the god of Molech. You can look these gods up, man. They're on Wikipedia and everywhere else. They were real. So they were sacrificing their children. The temple that God's people had built, which we talked about through our book of, through our study of generosity that we did through the summer, the temple has gone into disrepair. Nobody's taking care of it anymore. It was now falling into ruin. And the people of Judah, who were God's people, are returning to their evil ways. And so with all of this going on, the hatred, there was racism, there was violence, there is murder of children. They were morally and spiritually bankrupt. And Habakkuk's heart is broken for what he's watching and what's going on. In fact, even if you read, there was a famine in the land at the time that was caused by the leaders. And so I want to explain this as we go through this book. The vast majority of Habakkuk's discussion with God is going to be about the sin of the people. And we see that in our world, but I do believe that we can expand it a little bit without going outside of Scripture, that we are going to include some of the big world travesties that we see that still don't make sense. Because the book of Habakkuk's not talking about hurricanes and storms. It's talking about sin and violence, but I think we can add those in to the big question of God, are you there? And so we're going to be doing that as we work through this book off and on. But let's read this morning. We're only doing four verses today. I read them to you quickly last week, but we're going to read today. So we're going to start in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. This is what God's telling him to write. And if you have a title in your Bible, it says, this is Habakkuk's complaint. So he's got a complaint against God. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Here's his issue with God. God, why are you letting sin go unpunished? Why are you allowing the evil and wickedness of the world to reign? God, why are these things happening in our world? Why are refugees running in their own country trying to blow them up? Why do we have near war starting in the area of Korea? Who knows what's happening? Habakkuk, like many of us, asked the question when we watch the news, God, are you there? And I believe that some of you today have that issue with God. You might use different language, though. You might even use different words. God, why do you let these things happen? God, why do you ignore evil in my world? God, why does it seem that the wicked and evil are winning and we are losing? God, why are there tragedies and storms? Why do these things occur? Why do people get hurt? You have your own phrase. And here is what I want us to do. I want you to put yourself into Habakkuk's mind and heart. Do you look at the world like he is looking at his world and say, God, are you there? Like, do you care? Do you see us? Do you see my suffering? Do you see my problems? Do you see my issues? Do you see my own tragedies? God, how could you let these things happen that have happened to me in my life? God is saying, or Habakkuk is saying to God, why would you let your people act like this? Why are you ignoring the evil? I know some of you right away, we have a tendency to jump all over this. And I know in this room, we have all different kinds of people. And some of you would probably argue right away and say, well, this is why I don't believe in God. This is why I think religion is wicked. This is why any sort of God out there is just a crazy idea because it always leads to anger and violence. You have no idea how often I hear those arguments. I mean, just look at the world we live in. People will argue with me, and people who proclaim faith, whatever that might look like, whether you're Buddhist or Islam, Christian or whatever, people will say, well, that the result is the same. It's always violence. It always results in people getting hurt. And I've had people tell me, this is why I don't believe in a God. The thought of it just seems so ridiculous. Wouldn't we just be better off without a God and religion? That's an okay argument. But here's what I want maybe some of you to think about if that's you. Let me throw to you two names. Joseph Stalin and Chairman Mao. Joseph Stalin was a Russian leader responsible for killing millions of people. There was even reports, and you can go and read about them, that when the armies would move in Russia and take over cities, all of the men would rape all the women. They said under his rule, they figured there was anywhere from 1 million to 2 million women that were raped once these people overtook the cities. You have Chairman Mao, who was the guy running China. They say he was responsible for 2 to 6 million deaths in China. But he was also responsible for a massive widespread famine that they figure, reading just this week, killed between 15 and 55 million people. And you say, what did these two guys have in common? They both didn't believe in God. They both claimed no religion. They both claimed that there is no God. And so the question you would have to ask you then, well, who is more violent? The people who believe in God or the people who don't believe in God? And the reality is, it doesn't matter. Humanity is responsible for killing humanity. Humanity is responsible for the atrocities we do to one another. So how do we work through this? Regardless of your belief. Because you could look at Myanmar and you could say it's political, but it's also a religious problem. Right, one religion leaving its country where they're not liked, running to another country of religion, getting blown up along the way. And so you can't say that having God or no God is the right answer because you see it on both. So the question is who can stop this? Who can stop the violence, the greed, the killings, and the murder? And my question to you is this, is it a God or is it humanity? Who will deal with these people in our world? Who will discipline the wicked? You're like, well, if the government would step in and do it, oh, okay, so we'll get a president, he'll bring peace and love and hope, and we'll do rallies and protests, but those turned out violent too, so that didn't work out so well. Or is it a God? Who gets to enact the justice? Because if humanity decides to enact the justice, it's always going to be war. It'll always be violence. So who should be in charge of justice, humanity or God? I mean, we all want justice. You see, this is what Habakkuk's upset about. He's saying, God, where's the justice in all of the wickedness? He said, there's evil and there's hate crimes. Where is the justice? Why do you appear, God, indifferent? Why do you seem so insensitive to these issues? He even says in verse 3, I'll read it again, why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? What he's saying is, why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you make me look at this? Just like us. God, why do you make us see this in the news? Why do you make me see the violence, the hate, the anger? And look what he says, why do you idly look at it and do nothing? That's a pretty profound statement to God. God, why do you see the violence and do nothing? Why do you just stand there idle and do nothing? You see, these are incredibly tough questions. Because in order to answer them, in order for us to walk through them, we're going to have to take a very good look at ourselves and some of our beliefs. We're going to see God act in a way through this book that you will not expect. It may even cause you to consider some things in a way that you never had before. And so this series, people, is really a journey that we're going to go on together. And we're going to ask the question together, God, are you there? Because if you're a Christian today, we are all on the road to maturity. Right? We're to grow in our faith. We're to grow in Christ. But you will have the question, sooner or later, and it may even be today, God, are you there? Maybe some of you have asked the question multiple times over your life. Maybe it was a month ago. Maybe for some of us, the question hasn't come yet. We haven't even asked that question. For some of us, maybe that question will be tomorrow. Maybe something will happen tomorrow that will make us say, God, are you even there? Like, do you even care? Maybe some of us, it's the question we got here this morning with. Whether it was the news or your own life or what's going on in your family, what's going on in your marriage or with your children, God, are you there? And Habakkuk is going on a journey and he hits the roadblock. I think just like many of us. And so I want to read this again. But I want you to feel. That's the F word for men, right? We'll just say that out loud. Feel it. Men are like, I don't know what that means. I feel hungry and angry. That's about all. You know, but feel it. I want you to feel what he's saying. I want you to feel the distress in his prayer. I want you to feel the distress in his voice. And what's interesting is that first verse kind of says the oracle, and you're like, what does that mean? It really just means utterance. It means burden. This message is burdensome for Habakkuk. It's a prayer of distress. So let's read it again. And what I want to do is I'm going to make it plural a little bit, so hopefully it applies more. But I want you to do these words yourself to God today. O Lord, how long shall we cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make us see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before us. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. Do you see the distress in the words? Because when I read this, this is what I see. I see confusion and anxiety. I also see that he speaks to God in a way that might be unfamiliar to many of us. I mean, do you pray like to God that way? That rude, that insulting, the accusations? He says, do you even hear? Like, how long do I need to cry? God, how long does this need to go on? I think this prayer here, people, is good for us to read and understand. And in fact, it can be a really powerful tool for your prayer life. Because you see him naming and identifying and acknowledging suffering. Do you name and identify and exalt and acknowledge suffering when you pray? I actually think this is why it's here. It's okay to express our distress. It's okay to have a prayer of confusion and anxiety towards what God is doing. We see that Habakkuk is greatly disturbed by what's going on. He's disturbed by the spiritual and social state of Judah, and he's expressing it. He's wondering why God won't act. Because that's his confusion. God, why won't you do something? He cries out, stop the violence, God, and God has not stopped the violence. He asked to be rescued, but the God of salvation will not rescue him. And that confuses him. And it makes him anxious. It's interesting because it seems that confusion and anxiety they go together right here. And I know those are words that are hard for us to hear. Confusion and anxiety, just mentioning those words, I know puts many of us on edge. Saying, God, I don't know what's going on. I'm confused by my situation. And because I don't know what's going on, it's making me very anxious. I don't know what you're up to. How many of you, that is literally your whole life some days? Confusion and anxiety. When it comes to the things of the world, whether it's the wars, the hatred, the violence, the storms, the tragedies, we live in confusion. We don't understand. But it rises up in us an anxious heart, especially when we watch the news. And sometimes the confusion is, why won't you do something, God? And the anxiety is it's an unresolved issue. For some of us, that's us. We're confused why God is doing what he does, but we're very anxious because when is he going to do it? It's the same thing Habakkuk's asking. How long will this go on for, God? When will you step in and fix it? Just like us, God, how long will I suffer for? How long will I go through this? And when will you step in and fix it? Confusion and anxiety. It seems that as the confusion and anxiety grows in us about what God is doing or what God is up to, it seems that our heart and our spirit can become very restless. And this is just me, so I'll just speak for myself. I find that as my heart is more restless and my spirit is more restless, the more confusion and anxiety I have about what God is doing, I don't like to say it, the more my faith and trust sometimes goes down in God. The confusion and anxiety go up, sometimes my faith and trust go down. I can't be the only one. People of God, that's not what God wants for you, and it's not what he wants for me. And over the next 5 weeks, you're going to see Habakkuk work through that. And here is what you're going to see. As the confusion and anxiety go up about the world, the issues, the problems, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see his faith and trust in the Lord go up with it. Not the opposite direction. Is that you? Confusion and anxiety go up, faith and trust go down? We're going to see Habakkuk grow and learn through this. And so like him, when we watch the news, when we see what's going on, I want my faith and trust in God to increase. I don't want it to go down when I watch the news. It's easy to watch the news and just have that faith and trust kind of get sapped out of us as we watch the world in confusion and anxiety. Here is what I want. We're going to do, as I mentioned, a news clip every week. I want that to drive us towards him, not away from him. And I know for some of us, this is going to be a really difficult journey. But it's the journey Habakkuk's going on himself. And we're going to see him grow and change. We're going to see him learn to wait and trust in God and what he does. And we're going to see him grow in him. Even in the chaos, like we sung. Even in the chaos that we live in. Even in the chaos of Habakkuk in 600 BC, even in the chaos of 2017. And for those of us that are confused and anxious about the world and what God is doing, you are in the right place today. Because you are in the exact same place as Habakkuk himself. Maybe even your prayers have sounded like this recently. Maybe today that's the prayer that we need to do. God, are you there? God, I don't understand. How can you watch this? How are you going to fix this? How are you going to deal with this? God, it seems that the injustice is winning. It says there that the law is being perverted. And he's not talking about the law of the Old Testament. He means the local laws. When you read and study, it's like us today. The laws seem to be changing all the time. Bathrooms, marriages, genders, you name whatever your issue or topic is. Many of us feel like the laws of the nation are always changing. The wicked, he says, seem to be winning. And I think you think the same sometimes. Because the Bible says we're supposed to trust the laws of our day and follow it. But what happens when the laws are always being written, always being changed, and not to what God wants? That produces confusion and anxiety in many of us. I hear you guys talk about it. I've heard all the bathroom discussions. I've heard them all. Confusion and anxiety out of all of you. But I don't see faith and trust growing. I see confusion and anxiety growing. And we have to balance that, people. You see, this text here, four verses, people, is what we call a lament. And that's all we're going to do today. We're just lamenting about the state of our world and our country and what's going on. It's okay to lament, which means express sorrow about what's happening. God is not surprised by your sorrow. He is not unaware of your sorrow. In fact, the very presence of this prayer here is evidence of God's understanding. If he didn't want you to understand it, he wouldn't have wrote it down. If you weren't supposed to pray a certain way, he probably never, well, you can't talk to me that way, so I'll make sure I instruct Habakkuk to only put, like, "Dear Lord, you're wonderful and glorious." But he says to Habakkuk, "You write these words as the expression of your heart." To me, these four verses, people, are evidence of God's understanding. He inspired Habakkuk to write it down. In fact, this prayer here is a reminder for God's children for all time, hundreds and hundreds of years. And so if it's here, we can pray like this. I want you to insert yourself into the book. It is for you. It was written for God's people. Not just God's people then, but God's people today, to learn and to be challenged. And so in closing, we're going to pray. I told you there'd be no answers today. In fact, next week we're going to see God's response. The whole book is like this. Habakkuk prays, God answers. Habakkuk didn't like what God said, so he prays again. It's a bit of back and forth. And so we're going to pray. And so I just ask you to close your eyes. The band's going to come up. I want us to lament together the sin, the evil, the atrocities, the violence, the hatred, racism, the devastation of countries. Heavenly Father, I am not a good lamenter. But Jesus, why as we watch the storm are people being hurt? Lord God, I read in your word that you literally stop storms instantly. And I know that your people have been praying all over. I see it on the news and in TV, praying that this storm would not hit Florida, but it did. And all through the Caribbean. God, I don't understand why. I don't know why. God, I don't know why there is such a tone of racism in our own country. We can't just look at the United States. We have it here. God, why do we have such evil hearts towards people that are not like us? God, why do I have such an evil heart towards people that are not like me? God, why the violence? Why the bombings? Why the killing? Why the ISIS? You name it. Why the ethnic wars? Why the sexual orientation fights? God, I don't understand. God, you could fix it. God, why is there violence towards children? Why do these things happen in our world? I don't understand sometimes. God, I just don't understand. Lord, hear the distress of your people. The way you will hear the distress of Habakkuk.
I call upon the Lord, who is worthy.